Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thank God it is Friday. Hey, thanks for joining us here on this Friday today. Heading into the weekend here, we're tuning in to WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. All you need to do is go to where he speaks, and that is through his word. He's always broadcasting. You know, I love the idea of tuning in my radio dial and getting a live stream from Almighty God himself. We're going to do that now because his word is living and active and all powerful. We're in the book of Revelation. We're reading these seven letters that the Lord Jesus Christ dictated to the Apostle John to give to the spiritual leader, the Angelos, which meant preacher and messenger or angel. Most translations translate it angel, to the angel of the church. I think a better translation is the messenger. Even, you know, Paul uses that word for himself. When he was walking through Athens one day, we read about it in Acts chapter 17, wondering what he was going to preach. And he said he was upset seeing all these idols and all of these altars built to false gods. And he sees one there that said, prosagnosto theo, which means to the unknown God. And he used that one to preach about. And he says, this one over here, this agnosto theo, the unknown God, this altar you've built, in case you forgot someone, him, he said, I will preach. And that is katangelo. I will preach to you. That's what this word means here. Preacher. To the preacher of the church at. And there are seven of them. There might have been 500 churches by the year 96. Seven, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Seven is the number of completeness here. It's the number of perfection. It's the number for God, the number seven. We see sevens, series of sevenses all throughout the book of Revelation. So when he says seven churches, and there were others right here in this area that didn't get one. Laodicea got one, but the church at Colossae was a sister. It was right there, right now. They didn't get one. They had a church there. They, matter of fact, had a faithful church there. They didn't get a letter. You see, seven represents this church age. And you could find yourself in any one of these seven different types of churches. That's where we're going to be picking it up here in a minute. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We would love to see you. Island Community Church. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Our service starts at 10:35 Sunday morning. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is bringing the word this weekend. He has a powerful sermon in store. It's called Watch and Pray. Sunday morning at 10:30, we would love to see you. Wednesdays, we're in the book of Colossians. Pastor Darren is also heading this book. He's giving me a little break. He is teaching his four-chapter book of Colossians. So Wednesday nights at 6, Sunday mornings at 10:30. The following Sunday, I'll be back preaching again, doing a five-week series on Moses, the man of faith. IslandCommunityChurch.net is the website for more info on this church. If you're new to the area or looking for a new church, for whatever reason that may be, I invite you to attend our church. And over my dead body, will I ensure and make sure that Island Community Church is one of the faithful churches, no matter the cost. Because the faithful church, as we see here, proverbially speaking, has a blank check from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen to what he wrote to the spiritual leader of this church here. It's right here in verse 8, Revelation 3, 8. He says, behold, or check this out, pastor. I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. What a great promise. There is no correction at all like the other churches here, except for the persecuted church at Smyrna, where they were killing Christians left and right. Here, there's no correction for these guys either. Only an open door, only a blank check from the Son of God. Go out here and do business until I return. So that's what we're looking at. The faithful church. I pray and hope that your church is a faithful church. I hope that if you're a pastor or the spiritual leader of the church, you're hearing me here today, and that you are the pastor of a faithful church. Is your denomination and the church that you pastor, is it faithful? Do you still follow the Word of God? Do you still sit under the authority of the Word of God? Do you still believe sin is sin? We'll move on from there. So that's where we're at here. We've been looking here at this promise that the Lord Jesus has made. Behold, this is verse 8. Behold, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Because you have a little strength, and you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. So this door is open here. So use what he's given you. Use what the Son of God has given you to serve him while the door is open. The world is your oyster if you are members of the faithful church. Let me ask the question, how many talents has the Lord given you? We read the parables. He's given one 5 and one 2, and he gave one 1. And what has he given you? He's given you a talent, and he says, go out here and use what I've given you to build up my church. And then when I come back, we'll take inventory for what you've done. No matter what your age is, let me encourage you to continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and don't grow weary in well-doing. And I promise you, you are going to give an account for what you've done in the body. The Apostle Paul wrote as much as well. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one will give an account for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. The Lord Jesus said the same thing as well. He's coming back again. He's going to take inventory. We're going to give an account for what we've done. I asked in the program yesterday, if the Lord Jesus Christ, hear me today on this Friday, friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ gave you a blank check, signed by him on the bottom with your name on it and the dollar amount left blank, what would you write in there? This is the promise to the faithful church. Behold, I have set before you an open door, he says, an open door for ministry that no one can shut, no man can shut, no demon can shut, no one can shut this door that he has opened. Now, in verse 9, he's promised to put the hurt on your enemies and those who are opposed to your Christian service. Behold, I will give those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but they are lying. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. You know, I neglected to mention on the flip side here, and that is Jesus can close a door as well. And he promises that too. He can close a door that no man can open. Not only does he open that no one can shut, but the text says that he closes doors that no man can open. That's happened to me before when he has shut a door and I've tried to open it. How about you? How many times has the Lord shown, or has he shut a door, perhaps on your toes, that just can't be opened again? No money can open it. No politician can open a shut door. No thief can pry it open. No prayer can open the door that's been shut. Now, perhaps a door, like I said, has been shut to you. Maybe some kind of work. Perhaps a relationship, be it business or personal. Perhaps a house. Thank God that he's in such control and in such charge over these things in our life that he opens and shuts doors like he does. Now, back in again here to verse 9, where he says, I will give those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but they're lying. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet. So what does he mean by that? I mean, either you're a Jew or you're not, right? No. That's not the case. He's spiritualizing this text here. We've looked at this before, Romans chapter 2, verse 28. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in flesh, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So, no spiritual transformation, and you're not who you think that you are. And that was the problem with these guys here. They say that they're Jewish, but they're not. You see, he doesn't reckon people like we do. You see, a spiritual Jew, a spiritual son and daughter of Abraham is one who believes God at his word. Simple as that. That's the answer to that question. A spiritual son and daughter of Abraham is one who believes God at his word. Like we read in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. So I believe this is what he means when he says that you are say that you are Jew and are not, but of a synagogue of Satan. That is, if you hate God's people and God's son, and you're Jewish, well, you're not a Jew. No, you are a, just like the Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. You're not a true Jew. Because true Jews believe God at his word. As the Lord Jesus said, John 5:46, he said, if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, then how will you believe my words? So again, that explains how, in God's opinion, you can be of Jewish heritage and not be a Jew. And that, by the way, must be a shocking reality to some. You're not who you think that you are. Actually, you're deceived. And God doesn't see you as you see yourself. Because we read, I think it's 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, for God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. If you are a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham, then you believe God at his word. That's what he means by this text here. Now, verse 10. And an awesome promise for all the members of the faithful church, especially to those who are alive and are part of this church at the end, right before he returns. Because we don't know when that's going to be. You can be in a faithful church. Maybe that didn't happen to them. We know it didn't happen to them because he didn't come back 2,000 years ago. But you could be in the faithful church today or tomorrow. This is the promise to all members of the faithful church, especially those that are going to be alive when this evil age is coming to an end. He gives this promise to members of the faithful church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. He says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, or we could say, because you have kept my command to tough it out, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is about to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. So he's making a promise. That's because you have kept my word, I will keep you. And instead of from here, where it says from, this is the preposition ek. This means out of, this preposition. I will keep you out of. I will keep you out of the hour of testing. I will keep you out of the hour of trial. That'll come upon the whole world to test those who live in the world. We read even the devil saying in Job chapter 2, verse 4, he says, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. Well, people are going to be put to the test right here. But the Lord Jesus Christ promises to all the members of the faithful church that because you have kept the word of my perseverance, or because you have kept my command to tough it out, I am going to do some keeping on my own, and I am going to keep you, not just from, but I am going to keep you out of the hour of testing, which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So you see, the faithful church and all of its members will be kept out of the hour of trial and testing. The $64,000 question is, does hour mean hour, or does hour mean something else? Here we go again, right? We always like to look at these things. Does hour mean hour? Does the word mean it? How do we interpret that? Is that spiritual? Is that figurative? Is that literal? Does hour mean hour? Like before, when I've preached the sermon, little children, it is the last hour. You see, that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. He says, little children, it is the last hour. What does he mean by that? 60 minutes? Does hour mean hour, or does hour mean a greater period of time? And I like to use the analogy of a football game. An hour is exactly an hour. A football game is an hour long, but it takes 3 hours to watch one. Or the two-minute warning. There's 2 minutes is 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is never 2 minutes. It's always, you never know how long it is. But this I tell you, 2 minutes is 2 minutes. It's not a second longer. It's not a second shorter. 2 minutes is 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is never 2 minutes long. So it is here, hour. Little children, it is the last hour. Here is, I will keep you out of the hour of trial. Sometimes it's literal in the Bible. Sometimes it's figurative. This I know is that Jesus is going to take all the members of the faithful church and keep them out of, take them out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. The Lord Jesus says the hour is coming and now is. And when he was arrested, he says, this is your hour. And the power of darkness. Now, that's figurative language here. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10, though, he says, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, in 1 hour your judgment has come. And then verse 17, in 1 hour such great wealth was laid waste. And every captain and those sailing along the coast and sailors, as many as work on the sea, they stood from afar and cried out, seeing the smoke of her burning, said, who is like this great city? So they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and sorrowing, saying, alas, that great city by which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, because in 1 hour she was laid waste. Now that is Revelation chapter 18, verses 10 and 19. And I believe there that 1 hour means 1 hour. That's literal 1 hour. In 1 hour, I believe is what he means what he says here. In 1 hour, this city was laid waste. So could hour mean hour? You bet. That would put this rescue and deliverance at the end of the tribulation, near the end or at the end. The Lord will keep his promise and take you out of this world. Again, the Lord will keep his promise. John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So again, verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Wow, imagine that. What a time to be on planet Earth. I can't imagine how you could ever pass that test of being around here. The Lord said if those days weren't cut short, that no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be cut short. Perhaps that's what he means by that. Hour of trial. For all those that are members of the faithful church, for the true Christ followers, he's promised that he is going to keep you out of that. Then down to verse 11, he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may take your crown. You still need to be, we need to be proactive about our faith. The Christian life and vehemently keeping the Christian faith is an ongoing battle. I'm sorry if you were never taught that. Something is required of you and I. Remember, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. The Greek word agona, where our word agony comes from. Just like the race we read in Hebrews chapter 12. This running this race, this agona, race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. The Lord says, hold fast what you have so that no one may take your crown. See, there's a whole bunch of crown stealers out here today, and they're after you. They're trying to take your crown. You've got real enemies out here in the world that are trying to steal your crown. You got the devil out here trying to steal your crown. You've got evil people in your life, maybe, that are trying to steal your crown. That's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, don't kid yourself, or be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. There's people out here today that are trying to steal your crown. And he says, do not be deceived. This is why Jesus says, hold fast. The Greek word krateo, it means to rule over what you have. Rule over it. With an iron fist, with a gavel, with your spiritual 44 Magnum, rule over what you have. Don't let any devil steal your crown. Hold fast what you have. The Lord Jesus said it would be this way. Regarding those, he says, these are those on whom the seed was sown on rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but that have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. This is how you can start off in the Christian faith and not cross that finish line in faith. Is when others steal your crown, be it a devil, be it affliction, things in this world, persecution can steal your crown, the devil out here can steal your crown. When trouble brews and persecution arises, those who never put their trust in the Savior will say, you know what, I never signed up for this, I'm out of here. Jesus says it again in Matthew 24, verse 9. In case you missed it the first time or didn't believe him, he says, then they will deliver you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Verse 10, at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. This is why Jesus says to you, to rule over, krateo, rule over, hold fast to what you have so that no devil out here can steal your crown. Be proactive about your faith. Guard this. Now, this might not be popular, but I'm here to tell you today on this Friday, friend, that something is required of you. Read the word, the Lord's own words himself. He's commanded us here. Hold fast, stand guard, be proactive over your faith. Don't let anyone steal your crown. And now for the promise. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and by no means shall he go out any longer. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. So what's unique about pillars? Well, they don't move, right? You will be a pillar in God's house, unmovable, never cast out, never separated again. And as a result of your overcoming, Jesus says he will write on you the name of God and the name of the New Jerusalem and Jesus' new name. So what is that? I leave you with this. I'd say, be an overcomer and you'll find out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.